Good morning. Welcome to worship today. Nice to have you here. Lee, nice to have you here.
Nice to be here.
Oh. Lee had a close encounter with death this week, so it's especially nice to see you. Guests in the front row? Should I tell them? Yeah. The ones in the front row have to put in the most offering. Yeah, oh, that's this one. Diane Jones, it's your birthday yesterday, huh? Congratulations. Yeah. Let's sing happy birthday to Diane, okay, and start it off good. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Diane. Happy birthday to you. And many more. Yeah. You know what? Let's greet one another. If you don't know who's sitting in front of you or beside you or behind you, introduce yourselves, okay? That's okay, we'll scare them out. I've been thinking about, I look around, the youngest gal we've got here, what grade are you going into this year?
I'm going into
6th. 6th grade, and you guys are the 3 youngest, but the rest of us are all old. Yeah, we're seniors. And I've been thinking about life, you know. Most of you have climbed this corporate ladder, got to the pinnacle of your success, had your kids and grandkids, you find your joy in your grandkids. I know everybody's got the best grandkids in the world in this church, except for mine. But what's it all about? And that's what I've been working on. Theologically, what is our life all about? And I think I've come up with an answer for me, and the reason I'm sharing this, I want you to think about it this week in your life. But I think at the end of the day, what makes the difference in my life is to have a little peace in my heart and joy in my soul. It's not about all the monkey business that happens in the world or around, but that before I go to bed, I have a little peace in my heart and joy in my soul. Things that I've done have been good and made the world a better place and all that, huh? And the way I have peace in my heart and joy in my soul is because of my faith in God and His Son, Jesus, and the Spirit, the great mystery that has worked from the very beginning of time. And that's the place where religion or the great Spirit has worked. It's brought me to that place. And you can get the peace and the joy from the Spirit of God. And it's not about what you did or how big a boat you have or the biggest fish you caught, although those all help. But you don't need all of that stuff, huh? And Jesus, who's the Son of God, that's the message today. Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do you say I am?" Peter says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And he teaches how to find peace in your heart and joy in your soul. If you want that, that's what he teaches. And he says, listen to me. And he'll say things like, "The last shall be first in the kingdom of God. The greatest of all is servant of all." And he throws things all upside down from the way the world tells us, huh? And so I'm just, you know, I put that little tidbit out there for you to think about. But our songs today, our prayers today, the meditation, the lessons, all have to do with this peace and joy, this contentment. Maybe it's the contentment in your old age, Jack. And you're young yet, I know that. Anyway, one announcement. We've only got one Saturday left for vacation Bible school. That's what it is for me. For VBS. No, not VBS. It's for Veggie Stand. For the Veggie Stand, and we only have one more Saturday night service. So that's next week, and then these young kids have to go to school. God bless them. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh Lord, we thank you for the lives you have given to us. Too often we take it for granted. The family, the friends, the laughter, the food, clean air, the clean water, the good work, the opportunity to sweat. You have watched over us and called us into your family. You have shared with us how we can find joy in our hearts and peace in our souls. Today as we gather, some come with heavy hearts. Some come with concerns. Some come full of joy. And we are told that you love us and we are called to be a part of your family. And so stir that spirit that has come down through the ages, that our hearts and our ears might be opened, and that our lives might be open to your guidance and leadership. Bless us as we worship, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is 634, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. We'll rise during the singing of the last verse. Turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
In the presence of God who sees our hearts and our minds, let us confess our sin. Let's take a moment for silent confession. And let us confess together, God, our strength. We confess that we are captive to the power of sin that dwells within us. We put ourselves first and others last. What we think will make us happy leaves us longing for more. Even when we want to do what is good, we find ourselves doing the opposite. Rescue us from this crowd of lies, and raise us up day by day, that we may be alive to God and Christ Jesus. Amen. Sisters and brothers, all have fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, we are justified by God's grace as a gift. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, in whom we have forgiveness of sin, life, and salvation. Amen. Sisters and brothers in Christ, beloved children of God, grace, peace, and mercy be with you all. Let's join in praying the prayer of the day. God of all creation, you reached out to call people of all nations to your kingdom. As you gather disciples from near and far, count us also among those who boldly confess your Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated as we invite the bell choir to lead us.
Just a couple of things before I start the reading. Last Sunday, Pastor Jim, you bid farewell to Phil and me.
Here you are.
And I showed up again. So people are saying, I thought you were gone.
Barb's moving.
Yes. Okay. But I want to reassure you that as of Tuesday, we're going to be residents of Roseville. Okay? But we will sneak back here every once in a while. So you're not totally done with us. But Steve, I'm gone. Okay? All right. But we have such mixed emotions about leaving. It has been such a blessing for us to be a part of this loving and caring Bethesda family. And we are going to leave with peace and joy in our hearts. But I asked Phil the other day where he found joy. He said, I'm still looking for her. So, yeah, that's Phil. But anyhow, thank you for all the love and friendship that you have given us, and we'll be back. Another quick thing, Darwin called us this morning. He is sounding so incredibly good. He is in the hospital getting 4 days of chemo. They were able to collect the 5.4 million stem cells needed for a transplant. He will rest for a few days after this round of chemo, and then next week sometime he will start the process of infusing his own cleaned-up stem cells back into his body, and hopefully within a month to 6 weeks, they will know how this is working. So I'd ask that you keep him in your prayers. Okay? Business, Del. The first reading today is from Romans chapter 12. In response to God's merciful activity, we are to worship by living holistic, God-pleasing lives. Our values and viewpoints are not molded by this age, but are transformed by the Spirit's renewing work. God's grace empowers different forms of service among Christians, but all forms of ministry function to build up the body of Christ. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. The psalm for today is Psalm 138. We will read responsively. Please read the bold print, and when you see the bold R, say the refrain, O Lord, your steadfast love endures forever. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise.
I will bow down toward your holy temple and praise your name because of your steadfast love and faithfulness. For you have glorified your name and your word above all things.
When I called, you answered me. You increased my strength within me.
All the rulers of the earth will praise you, O Lord, when they have heard the mouths of your mouth. O Lord, your steadfast love endures forever.
They will sing of the ways of the Lord, that great is the glory of the Lord.
The Lord is high, yet cares for the lowly, perceiving the haughty from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you keep me safe. You stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand shall save me.
You will make good your purpose for me. O Lord, your steadfast love endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. O Lord, your steadfast love endures forever.
If you are able, please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
The Holy Gospel this morning is found in the 16th chapter of St. Matthew. At a climactic point in Jesus' ministry, God reveals to Peter that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responds with the promise of a church that will overcome the very gates of Hades. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing Children of the Heavenly Father, 781.
Children of the Heavenly Father, simply in His bosom gather, nestling bird nor soaring heaven, such a refuge there was given. God His own doth tend and nourish in His holy from all evil things he spares them, in his mighty arms he bears them. Neither life nor death shall ever come before his children's stand. Unto them his heavenly shoulder and his sorrow.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Folks are in good voice today. I was thinking about questions. There's all kinds of questions people have throughout their lives. I was talking to a friend who had been in New York City, and his good friend was a comedian. And so he's always doing goofy things, but the question he asked is, how do you save a newspaper on a subway? And this comedian will tell this story, how he was reading his newspaper, and then he was going to save it for the rest of the people in the office, and so he sat on it, and another commuter got on, evidently not used to whatever was going on in the subway. Anyway, newspapers are free reign. Anytime there's newspapers, anyone can pick them up and everyone can read them. And so this comedian's sitting on this newspaper, and the new guy gets on across from him and asks the guy who's sitting on the newspaper, "Are you reading that newspaper?" He got up, turned the page, sat down, and he says, "Yes." Yeah, oh boy. The question today in the gospel is, who do people say the Son of Man is? Jesus is asking his disciples. They're going throughout from village to village. He wants to get some feedback on what people in the countryside are talking about. And some say John the Baptist. Now, you all know that John the Baptist was beheaded by Pilate. And had the... Is that right? I'm asking her. She's 12 years old. She read the story. Who was it? Who beheaded Pope?
I think it was King Herod.
Ah, you're right. It was King Herod. She did that to me last year, too, when I was wondering if it was five loaves and two fishes or five fish and two loaves. It's five loaves and two fishes. I read the story. And now today it's Herod who beheads John the Baptist. So I'm sure there's people spreading the word that John the Baptist is back and Herod must be going nuts. I cut the guy's head off. I put it on a plate. I know the story. So I'm sure that's spooking Herod out. And then someone says, well, others are saying that Jesus, or the Messiah Jesus, is Elijah. You all know how Elijah died, don't you? He never died. He got in a chariot and flew up into heaven. And so they think, some people were thinking, that the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the Savior of the Israelites, is going to come back in the person of Elijah. So there's some people out there saying that Jesus is Elijah. And others said Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Jeremiah also had some messianic tags to his name, thinking that some of the other prophets might come back and save Israel. So Jesus hears this. You know, that's kind of like the politicians in Washington, D.C. They want to find out what people are saying, so they read the New York Times or the Washington Post. Or the sports figures wondering what they're saying, so they'll turn on ESPN or Sports Illustrated. Jesus wants to know what people are saying. Finally, he hears this, and the people are talking, and then he asks the disciples, so who do you say that I am? And Peter, magnificent Peter, says, Jesus, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, you're right. You didn't know this by anything I've said. God in heaven has given you that wisdom. God in heaven has told you the truth. So the question today in 2014 is he the Son of God, the Son of the living God? How do you answer the question, who is Jesus? Who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? That's what I'd like you to think about today. You know, many call themselves Christian, but they live as functional atheists. Now, don't get me wrong. In fact, the question yesterday at the veggie stand is it sinful to be an atheist? Think about that one for a while. That's next week. So tune in next week and you'll get an answer. But many people state matter-of-factly that Jesus is the Son of God, but their lives say totally something else. Why do I turn them an atheist? It's because God plays no real part in how they live their lives or how they make their decisions. Many of these people are part of the church. They mouth the creeds every week. They sing these lofty hymns like children of the Heavenly Father. They might even read scripture from time to time, but when they read scripture, the words of the Lord are no more to them than words of advice, which they can accept or reject on their own. As their own desires might dictate. They don't really take it all that seriously. And at night they may kneel beside their beds to say their prayers, but their prayers are no more than solicitations for God to do their bidding. So they'll say things like, Lord, heal my body. Or Lord, take care of my kids and grandkids, would you? Or Lord, help my stocks do well. And amen, and they sleep pretty good. Never examine their souls. Who are they in the kingdom of God? Who are they as children of God? Who is God in their lives? Our prayer isn't that they can be conformed to God's will. It's that God will conform to their will. They'll never sweat great drops of blood like Jesus did in the Gethsemane, praying, not my will but thine be done. Because it's never occurred to them that there could ever be a difference between God's will and their own. I might be overstating it or overly harsh here, but I might be being honest about how many of us in actuality conduct our lives this way, trying to twist God's will into our lives instead of following him. I doubt if that few of us were surprised last year in the new Oxford English Dictionary that the name selfie
was the word of the year for 2013. They did this because of the word's tremendous increase in usage. You know what, Ronnie, do you know what selfie is? Yeah, something you put on your steak. A selfie is a picture you take of yourself. And they say, oh, here. On the Academy Awards, they took it with, let's take a selfie. Yeah, let's take a selfie. Does that surprise anyone? For anyone who doesn't know by now, it's a picture of you take of yourself in order to upload it on Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat or some other social networking website. Bob, you didn't even know I knew about Snapchat, did you? We become a society of people who stand around and take pictures of ourselves. Isn't that great? What a perfect metaphor for the narcissistic age we live in. So what does it mean to say that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of the living God? What does it really mean to say that Jesus is Lord? It really means that we should bow down before him and not ourselves. It means that the most important determinant in how we live is our faith in him. It means that we look to Christ for daily guidance. Lord, how do you want me to act in this situation? Lord, what can I say to this person that will lift them up and allow them to know your forgiveness? Lord, what do you want me to do today? If we become a part of the Christ family, it makes all the difference in how we live if we're part of his family. I heard a story about written by the president of Princeton Theological Seminary. His name is Craig Barnes. He tells a wonderful story about when he was a boy. When he was a boy, his dad was a minister. He brought home a 12-year-old boy named Roger. Roger's parents had died from drug overdoses. There was no one to care for Roger, no family, no environment that he could go to. So Craig Barnes' father brought this boy home, and his mom and dad said, we're going to treat you as one of our own boys. You're going to live with us. At first, it was really difficult for 12-year-old Roger to adjust to his new home. Every day, several times a day, Barnes heard his new parents say things like, no, that's not how we behave in this family. No, you don't have to scream or fight or kick or hurt other people to get what you want, Roger. No, Roger, we expect you to have respect for other people in this family. And in time, Roger began to change. And now asks Craig Barnes, did Roger have to make all those changes in order to be a part of that family? No, because they were going to have him as a family member no matter what. He became a part of the family simply by the grace of Barnes's mom and dad who brought him into the family. But did he have a lot of hard work to do because he was a member of the family? Absolutely. He had to live like other members of the family. It was tough for Roger to change, no question. He had work to do to be a part of the family, but he was motivated because of the gratitude of the family taking him in, the love he received, the joy he received, the protection he received, the incredible love that he got from that family, and he wanted to change because of that. Then Barnes asked this question. He says, do you have a lot of hard work to do now that the Spirit has adopted you into Christ's family? Do I have a lot of hard work to do? You bet I do. But not in order to become a son or a daughter of the Heavenly Father. No, you make those changes because you are a son of or daughter of Christ. And every time you start to revert back to those old addictions of sin, every time we start sinning again, the Holy Spirit says to you, no, that's not how we act in this family. That's not the way God wants us to live. That's not the way you're going to find peace and hope and joy and love. You hear what he's saying? It's Craig Barnes. Ask yourself whether it makes any real difference in your life if you are a part of God's family. Does it make you more loving? Does it make you more tolerant? Does it make you more disciplined, more moral, more purposeful? Does it make a difference being a part of God's family? If you can't answer yes to these questions, then the question has to be asked, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Or are you living as a functional atheist? You know, we hear about Jesus. He's a good teacher. By the way, there's three teachers in history. Socrates, Confucius, and Jesus. They never wrote a word down. They never wrote a word, but the words they say, the things they taught, have come down because what they said was so important. Are you living as a functional atheist, in spite of the fact that you made a public profession to Christ, that you say you want to be a Christian? This business of being in the family of God isn't easy. It takes a conscious act of will to say, from this day forward, by the grace of God, I'm going to live as the person that Jesus Christ has called me to be. I'm going to be as good as I can because of God's love for me. I'm going to help as much as I can because of God's love for me and acceptance for me and forgiveness that I've been given. It's not easy. It's not easy, but it's the surest way to find peace and joy in your heart and soul. So the question, who do you say that I am? Who is Christ? I want you to think about that week. Don't say something just off the top of your head. Look deep in your heart. Is he the Messiah, the Son of the living God? Is he the Lord of your life? Has this Christian faith made a difference? Something for us to ponder. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. We'll at this time invite the ushers to receive our morning offering, but let's join together in singing while they do that. My hope is built on nothing less. It's 597.
Or even 802.
Should we sing?
It's 597.
Which one do you want to play?
Pardon me?
You want 597?
597.
Okay, let's try 597. Please rise and let us join together in the offertory prayer on the top of page 5. Let us pray together. God of mercy and grace, the eyes of all wait upon you.
and you open your hand and bless them. Fill us with good things at your table, that we may come to the help of all in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen.
Filled by the Spirit, let us join in the whole people of God in Christ Jesus in praying for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Lord of the church, remind us that though we are many, we are one body in Christ. Teach us to use our grace-given gifts with generosity, compassion, and humility. Lord, in your mercy. Your Spirit blows over all the wild places of this earth, reminding us who is in control. Preserve the wilderness areas and coastlands, and help us minimize our impact upon the land. Lord, in your mercy. Transform all nations by renewing the minds of their people. Provide adequate educational facilities and well-trained teachers for students of every age so that they learn, grow, and fulfill your purpose for their lives. Lord, in your mercy. Stretch out your hand to preserve us from trouble and deliver us from poverty. We pray for peace and reconciliation among all people. Lord, in your mercy. Give a discerning spirit to our congregation as we prepare for outreach ministries, programming for families and youth, and meaningful worship. Assign each member a measure of faith to make your vision a reality. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for calling us into this family. Thank you for this congregation of loving, caring people. Give us a vision as to how we can serve you in the coming days, weeks, and months. We ask your blessing to be with Barb and Phil as they pack their bags and move to Roseville. Watch over and keep them in your care. We thank you for Darwin and Janine and the hope that they have. Send your holy angels to watch over them. You are the great physician, the great healer, and we ask for healing to be with Darwin. For those in our lives who need your healing touch, we ask that as well. And watch over our children and grandchildren, our family and friends. Keep us ever mindful of your presence in our lives. We give you heartfelt thanks for the diligent leadership and faithful service of those who have died and now rest in you. Continue to build your church upon that strong and enduring foundation. Lord, in your mercy. Into your loving hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your abundant mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Let's join in the prayer our Lord has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
May God the sower make you good and fertile soil. May Christ the seed bloom and grow in your words and actions. May the fruitful Spirit bring forth a bountiful yield in your lives. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Go in peace. Christ is your light.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is 536. God be with you till we meet again.